43. Reprieve.
There are several tactics to employ when using a Gangolin on the battlefield. The most obvious is to crush your foes, but the creature's horns are also valuable weapons. Their many tines are large enough to skewer several men back to back.
From Colvin Arbraeum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 261. Only some of the expedition lamented their predicament. Amundal's friends took the news in stride. Ildin was still hopeful that the council would send a ship, and Fench was too busy admiring the icy cavern to care one way or the other. Amundal supposed he hadn't the faintest idea what their dilemma implied. After all, the winged creature had never left Tardalim. Old Cali held a meeting with Fench, Mirrodin, and Bilinus. The latter two were the only squad leaders to survive the battle with Orath Issian. While they discussed their course of action, Amundal and his friends surveyed the rest of the cave. There has to be a way out, he thought, stroking the anchoring Tevis roll inside his coat pocket. Fench claimed his kind had fled Tardalim through these caves. Surely there was a way to the surface. Three other chambers branched off from the one housing Tardalim's exit. Each was frozen over, its ground uneven. One, however, had a shallow slope along its far wall that wrapped behind several low-hanging stalactites. Amundal peered up the shallow slope, but the ramp wrapped around a bend in the cavern.
"Why don't you take a look?" Dougal said to Ildin.
Felinia snickered at the suggestion.
"Afraid of a little adventure, Dougal?"
The transmuter rolled his eyes.
"I've had enough adventure for one day."
Gray illusory particles gathered around Ildin, taking the form of a bird. Soon a gosset took shape and flew up the shallow grade, disappearing behind the stalactites.
"Why don't you search, too?"
Dougal pointedly asked Felinia. She shook her head.
"I think Ildin can manage. Besides, it's only one tunnel."
Her reply struck Amundal as odd. He resisted the urge to furrow his brow and followed after Ildin's illusion. Morjadayan hurried beside him and they climbed the shallow grade. Once they were near the bend, Morjadayan leaned close to Amundal.
"Do you think Felinia is acting strange?"
Amundal shrugged.
"There are some peculiar things," she said.
The Barshanist glanced over his shoulder, undoubtedly gauging the distance between him and Felinia.
"I just hope we didn't let it out."
"I was the last one through the floor." But no sooner had those words left Amundal's lips than he began to reconsider.
"It can't be," he thought.
But Ildin had seen the monster darting through the roost, and Orath Issian had plummeted through the pit.
Unless that wasn't Orath Issian. "I see you're wondering now, too," Morjadayan said.
The path narrowed after the bend and was barely wide enough for them to squeeze through. Morjadayan was almost too burly to continue. Luckily, the path wasn't narrow for long. It opened into a two-story chamber overlooking an expansive cavern. Both spaces were covered in large crystallized plants that looked very much like those outside Tardalim's gatehouse. If either cavern had been warm, the warmth had been lost long ago. The floor of the smaller chamber, what wasn't covered in crystal, was veiled in thin ice. An occasional spot of dark gray stone flecked with dull brown specks dotted the walls, the ceiling, and the floor.
"Doesn't seem as cold in here," Morjadayan said.
Amundal nodded and stepped toward the larger cavern. The smaller chamber was the size of a large home, but it paled in comparison to the cavern it overlooked. Larger than four Soroth city blocks, it rose at least three stories above the smaller chamber, while its floor was too far below to gauge. Enormous, flowery plants, now crystallized, hung along the cavern's walls. Many had long vines that interconnected them.
"Well, we're not going that way."
He searched for Ildin's illusion, but it wasn't anywhere in the enormous cavern.
"Over here!"
Morjadayan called, and Amundal turned to find the Barshanist beside a large crystallized plant. A
I found another tunnel, and it looks like this one is wider than the last.
Amandal was almost to Morjadayan when Fench flew from the narrow path.
They want to sleep, Fench said, and eat.
Morjadayan eased from the opening.
I suppose we should head back.
Fench shook his head, trunk flailing and helmet bobbing.
Ildin told Wrinkly Face about this place. They want to rest here.
Wrinkly? Ah, old Callie. Amandal grinned, nodding in approval. Before long, the survivors erected what few tents they had brought with them. Several of the soldiers began preparing a cold meal, while Dougal transmuted a large pot from the icy ground. His magic, however, didn't affect any of the crystal.
This substance really is impervious, Amandal thought. Now if only I could find a chrysalac.
Soldiers hacked at the ice surrounding the camp while Amandal and Fench investigated the tunnel Morjadayan had found. Amandal had conjured a cistern and was using the beast's nose to sniff for any creatures that might be lurking ahead of them. The tunnel's path meandered from right to left, but always ascended.
This has to be the way, Amandal said.
It is,
the codger's voice boomed in his mind.
Keep going.
Fench began to tremble, and his trunk stiffened. Did you hear him too? Amandal asked. The winged creature nodded, and Amandal stroked his beard. He really wants us to leave.
Amandal!
Ildin shouted, and Amandal turned to face his friend. The food is ready, and Felinia is making everyone some tea.
Don't go back, the voice warned. Leave, now.
Amandal shot a perturbed glance to the tunnel's ceiling and followed Ildin back to camp. All his friends, except for Felinia, were between the tunnel and the ledge, sitting on crude benches transmuted by Dougal. Their seats gave them a view of the enormous cavern.
Do you really think so? Jacob asked.
Morjadayan gave the necromancer a sullen glare.
Why else would it attack the tower? That thing was smarter than we gave it credit for.
Amandal commanded his cistern to rest while he sat down beside Silas. Of all his friends, she looked the most despondent. She lifted her eyes to Amandal and attempted a weak smile, but she only managed to contort her lips in an awkward expression. Fench settled on her shoulder and moved his face to hers. The gesture drew a tear and a chuckle from the Arpranist.
I found the way out, Amandal said, and the codger wants us to leave.
You need to leave,
the voice said with a tone of annoyance. Amandal clenched his teeth.
I'm not leaving without my friends. He really is mad, Dougal muttered, and Silas kicked his boot. What?
Everyone looked at the transmuter. Dougal shook his head and stood.
Anyone else want tea?
Morjadayan nodded. Jacob jumped to his feet.
I'll come with you,
the necromancer said, stumbling after Dougal. Once they left, Amandal cleared his throat.
As I was saying, the codger says we should leave. Did he say why?
Silas asked. Morjadayan set his jaw and glanced back to the camp. Amandal shook his head.
He never does. He's frustrating like that. Crazy old man probably doesn't have his wits aright.
I should scout ahead then,
Ildin said and began uttering an incantation. Morjadayan rose from his bench and approached Amandal. Once near, he leaned close.
What about Felinia?
Amandal folded his arms and reared back.
She's not the monster, he thought.
But what if she was?
No, it can't be.
If Orath Issian had somehow become Felinia, then there would have been an orange flash somewhere in the roost. At no time had Amandal seen a burst like that. Besides, hadn't Silas used her magic on Felinia? He abruptly turned toward the Arpranist.
What was wrong with Felinia when you healed her?
Silas squinted and looked about as if puzzled.
I can't remember.
Morjadayan stepped back, his eyes widening as if he had realized something. Another gosset soon formed beside Ildin, and it took to flight through the ascending tunnel.
What do you mean?
Amandal asked.
Silas parted her lips and brought a hand to her forehead. At that moment, Dougal returned with Jacob, each holding simple mugs. The old codger began yelling in Amandal's mind, but he ignored the fool. Felinia rounded the nearby tent, moving straight for Amandal.
"I saved the hottest for you," she said, parting her lips in a flirtatious manner. "Here you are," she handed the mug to Amandal.
But he didn't grab it. He was too busy debating the possibility that the woman in front of him was not Felinia. Amid his thoughts, the codger's voice continued badgering him to leave. Felinia's expression hardened, and she turned from Amandal.
"Fine. If you don't want it, I have a better idea of how to warm you."
She extended the mug to Finch.
"Here, why don't you have it?"
The winged creature took the mug in both hands, and his trunk twitched. Was he sniffing it? Jacob handed Ilden a mug while Dougal held one out to Morjadayan, but the Barjanist didn't take it.
"Are you coming?"
Felinia asked, reaching for Amandal's gloved hand. Her touch was firm. "She must really want me," he thought. "Or something from me." Jacob snorted with mirth.
"Now this is something I thought I'd never see."
He burst into raucous laughter.
"Who thought Amandal Aramian would ever hesitate to bed a beautiful woman?"
Dougal joined the jovial outburst while Ilden chuckled. Amandal cocked his head at his friends and rose to his feet. All but Morjadayan were drinking the tea, though the Barjanist finally accepted his mug. Finch, however, was still sniffing it.
"It stinks," he said, and dumped the mug's contents onto the ice. "Come on,"
Felinia urged, pulling Amandal from his friends. While she led him toward the nearest tent, he continued debating with himself. She only held one mug, he thought, and that was with her left hand. Since rejoining the survivors, she had done everything with her left hand. Felinia backed into the tent's door, cracking it enough for her hand to slip inside, her right hand. Amandal blinked in disbelief and fought the urge to widen his eyes. He glanced back to Morjadayan as Felinia pulled him inside. The Barjanist put the mug to his lips as Amandal stumbled into the tent. He tripped and landed on his side, with Felinia still holding him. Her grip lessened, and Amandal shook his hand free.
"And here I thought you'd be more eager," Felinia said with disappointment. "Perhaps I misjudged you."
Pushing himself upright, Amandal chuckled and reached for her right hand, but his fingers passed through it, as if it were an illusion.
"Oreth Issian!"
A surge of fury exploded within Amandal. Had Oreth Issian killed Felinia like he had Edara and that necromancer? Strangled gasps erupted outside the tent, followed by a hurried commotion.
"My, aren't you clever,"
Oreth Issian said in Felinia's voice. Amandal jerked to his feet and sent a command to the cistern. "Attack!" The woman before him grinned and shook her head.
"You should have taken the tea. Your death would have been far less painful."
Her flirtatious grin became a snarl, and she reached into the pocket of her coat, removing a pale blue knife. No, a translucent shard. Was it the tip of a fang? Or a tusk? She swung its tip at Amandal, but he threw himself sideways, and the cistern lunged into the tent. The beast collided with the impostor, knocking her through the tent wall. They tussled, and the fake woman tried to get away, but Amandal held tight with the conjuration's paws and rolled them across the ground. All the while, Oreth Issian stabbed the beast repeatedly, but Amandal did not even flinch at the wounds. His fury doused the conjuration's pain, and he willed the cistern to clamp its teeth upon her forearm. With little effort, he managed to keep the beast's grip firm. The strangled noises grew louder, and Amandal hurried out of the tent. He stumbled to a halt as his friends, all but Morjadayan, held their stomachs, their faces contorted in sickened expressions.
"No!"
Finch fluttered between each of them, looking confused and scared. Ilden dropped his mug and fell off the bench, his arms shaking. The others tumbled to the icy floor, except Morjadayan. The Barjanist steadied himself, struggling to stay upright.
A pale blue tusk? Strangled noises? Convulsing? Yiltis venom, Amandal thought. In the tea.
But how had Oreth Issian come by a Yeltis's tusk? Ideas rushed to his mind, accompanied by flashes of memory. One image stood out among the others, of Idara in the crystal halls with his pack raised above the flood. He didn't want the tusk to get wet. "That bastard captain," Amadal muttered and hurried to Ildin. The illusionist shook all over, more violently than before. He tried to speak but only made strangled noises. Amadal grabbed his friend's quivering hand. Ildin's sapphire eyes struggled to focus and his head wobbled. Amadal would not let his friend die, not here, not after all they had survived thus far. Amadal clenched his teeth. "Ildin, hang on!" An enraged cry echoed throughout the camp, and Amadal felt his conjuration tumble over the edge. The impostor was still in its clutches.
What's
Orjadayan dropped to his knees beside Amandal. "Yeltis poisoning," Amandal said, putting his other hand on Morjadayan's shoulder. The Barjanist trembled, but not as bad as the others.
"This is why you were supposed to leave,"
the Kaja's voice boomed in Amandal's head.
"Their deaths were inevitable."
"I won't let them die," Amandal said with determination. But he had no Tevis Rolls that could heal them, and Silas was also succumbing to the venom. "The Vizierm!" Uttering the incantation to open a portal to the Vizierm expanse, Amandal leapt to his feet. An orange flash erupted within the larger cavern. His cistern's vision was blinded, and it hit the ground, breaking its neck before the light faded.
"You try my patience, Amandal,"
Orathisian shouted, his voice echoing off the crystal walls. But his voice was slightly different than before, with a deeper and a more guttural intonation. Golden light surged from Amandal, gathering behind Morjadayan. The forming portal reached halfway to the chamber's ceiling and burst with a flash.
"Get yourself through the portal," Amandal said to the Barjanist. "I promise I'll find a way to save you."
Morjadayan tried to nod and crawled away. He fell beside Dougal and grabbed the transmuter with shaking hands. A loud swooshing reverberated through the adjoining cavern, repeating over and over. Ignoring the noise, Amandal turned back to Ildin and uttered another incantation. If he were to save his friends, he would need help. Besides, if he were touching his friends when they met the portal, he too would be sucked into the Vizierm expanse. Golden light swirled from his hands as he dragged Ildin across the frigid ground. A portal soon formed near Silas, and a humanoid form appeared within the light. An earthen elemental emerged just as Amandal brought Ildin to the portal. Morjadayan dragged both Jacob and Dougal, but stumbled and fell forward. The Barjanist pushed himself upright and reached for his friends, pulling them once again. "He really is heroic," Amandal thought, and then commanded the elemental to grab Silas. Uttering another incantation, Amandal hurried around the tents. The soldiers and mercenaries were convulsing on the icy ground, some foaming at the mouth. Those nearest him were Maradin and Hevesir. Another portal formed beside him as the swooshing ceased. An orange flash erupted beyond the tents and vibrant lightning surged from the larger cavern. It demolished tents and struck the ground between convulsing soldiers, exploding in another flash. Within the light was the silhouette of a brawny man pushing himself off the ground. The second earthen elemental emerged as the orange light faded. "Grab them," Amadal commanded the conjuration, glancing to Maradin and Hevesir. At that moment, he sensed Silas enter the Vizierm expanse, and then Morjadayan, Dougal, and Jacob. Sucking in his breath, Amandal turned back to the now-human Orathisian. He looked as he had during the battle, and wore a face that did not belong to anyone from the expedition. He had a chiseled chin, thin lips, and a short nose, all framed by blonde hair. The monster-turned-man knelt beside Kalamir, reaching across the old soldier. Amandal backed away and reached out to the first elemental. It was lifting Ildin to the portal.
"This will end you,"
Orathisian stood, and flame burst from an ornate hilt in his left hand, his eyes alight with unquenchable hatred.
"I will enjoy gutting you," he shouted, charging across the convulsing men and women.
A purple beam shot from above Amandal, striking the ground in front of Orathisian. It was followed by another and another, forcing the monster-turned-man to evade. But the blasts also killed a mercenary and maimed a soldier.
"I'm not scared of you," Bench cried. "Not anymore."
Amandal spun. The winged creature hovered in the air, firing his rod-like weapon. Ildin entered the Vizierm expanse, and Amandal shifted his focus to the first conjuration, willing it toward Orathisian.
The monster-turned man dashed around the convulsing soldiers, skirting the camp's edge. More of Fench's blasts maimed and killed those in Orathisian's wake. The first elemental bounded through a broken tent, moving directly toward Orathisian. "Grab him!" Amandel commanded, and then uttered another incantation. Golden light swirled in front of him. It coalesced as the monster and elemental clashed. Orathisian lunged, swinging his stolen blade. The flame sliced through the earthen body. Amandel tried to grab the monster-turned-man, but the elemental fell in three pieces. Orathisian spun, evading more of Fench's disintegrating blasts. The portal in front of Amandel formed, and another normal-sized earthen elemental emerged. Amandel willed the conjuration into a run, charging it toward Orathisian. "I'll get you this time."
"It's futile, Amandel,"
Orathisian lunged, raising the flaming blade. Amandel made the conjuration crouch, just managing to grab his foe's sword arm at the wrist. Before Orathisian could pull back, the elemental reached for the creature's neck, lifting him off the ground. It held Orathisian in the air and bounded over the broken elemental, running toward the ledge. Enraged, Orathisian yelled and kicked the elemental with unnatural strength. The blow sent them spinning. They tumbled across the ground, stopping short of the ledge. Fench fired a blast that skimmed Orathisian's foot. In that moment, Mirrodin entered the Vizier expanse, followed by Hevesir. Amandel turned the conjuration from the portal and sent it charging. "Hurl him over the ledge!" While it ran, Amandel began another incantation. The elemental grappling with Orathisian was kicked repeatedly. One of its arms cracked. The earthen limb came loose as the second conjuration tackled Orathisian. The blow ripped him from the now maimed conjuration and sent both elemental and monster over the ledge. All the while, Fench chased after them, firing his weapon. Monster and conjuration tussled in the air as another portal formed and a fourth earthen elemental emerged. Amandel commanded the new creature to grab those still alive, then willed the maimed conjuration to do the same. But those two would not be enough. While Amandel summoned another elemental, a burst of orange light washed from the adjoining cavern. Amandel no longer felt Orathisian through his conjuration. The elemental hit the crystallized ground, but was soon pinned by a tremendous weight.
"Perhaps I should collapse this cavern upon you,"
Orathisian bellowed, pressing harder on the conjuration's back. The force cracked the elemental. Orathisian pressed harder, and the conjuration shattered. Fluttering at the ledge, Fench began yelling and firing his rod. An enraged cry echoed from the massive cavern, and an orange flash reflected off the crystal walls. Another elemental emerged from a portal as old Kali entered the Bazirm expanse. Two others were thrown in after the old soldier. "That's 10, Amandel thought, surveying the camp. Four soldiers that had been foaming at the mouth lay still. Seven were partially disintegrated and would not survive their wounds. That left only 13 he could save. At least his friends were safe. Well, as safe as he was now. But if Orathisian managed to kill him, then his friends would be banished to the Vizirm expanse for eternity. And then there was Felinia. Thinking of what Orathisian had done to her evoked a rage like he had never felt before. "I'll kill him. Rip him limb from limb." He played out the act with his hands. But he had killed Orathisian before. Would he stay dead this time? "I'll give him a fate worse than death," he thought with a smile, recalling the punishment for breaking his family's oath. Banishment to the Vizirm expanse. While the conjurations grabbed five more of Orathisian's victims, Fench ceased firing.
"He's gone!"
"Where?"
"Down a tunnel."
Amandel glanced back to the tunnel he had searched, but he didn't recall seeing any other passageways connecting to it.
"What do we do now?"
Fench asked.
"We get out of here," Amandel said. "And when Orathisian follows, I'll have a surprise waiting for him." He would tear Orathisian limb from limb, and he knew exactly how to do it.
Even in that monstrous form, Orathisian could not withstand the might of a Gangolin.